false messiahs. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they, his disciples, said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Matthew 16:13-15. Ultimately, every person must answer this piercing question. It is a question that cannot be answered by popular opinion or even through the diligent research or speculation of scholars. It is worth noting that every answer given by men was the wrong answer. Even Peter was not given personal credit for his correct response. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 16:17. Praying for a revelation of Yeshua as Messiah, Son of God and the God the Son, is one of the most powerful prayers we can pray for the ultra-Orthodox. Flesh and blood cannot reveal Jesus, but only the Father in heaven. We should also pray for visitations. Yeshua appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, revealing himself as Lord, Acts 9:4-5. The Apostle Paul later said that he did not receive the gospel from men, but rather by revelation, Galatians 1:11-12. There are conflicting views of Messiah, the Messianic age, within Judaism, ranging from belief that Messiah will come when we are worthy for him to come, to the broader view that the Messianic potential is within every soul, and the Messianic age is a state of utopian paradise achieved after centuries of progressive improvement. According to Jewish theology, goodness that is not associated with human endeavor is not good, in the most precise sense of the word. And so the rabbis asked, what good is there a messianic belief system that speaks of instant supernatural change? A popular belief among the ultra-Orthodox is that when we deserve it, Messiah will come. From the perspective of Hasidic thought and Kabbalah, the messianic ideal is the opposite of sudden transformation. It is a process that has taken as many years as humans have inhabited the planet to effect radical changes in the world. Kabbalistic theology contends that humanity's collective efforts over the course of the millennia have paved the way for a new age. These changes occur through the observance of good deeds referred to as mitzvot. These collective acts have the capacity to transform the world. Maimonides affirms a Talmudic teaching that a solitary mitzvah is endowed with the power to alter the balance of the entire universe. The masters of Kabbalah assert that evil, by its very nature, does not enjoy the same longevity as the force of goodness. With the passage of time, the evil of yesterday has already been dissipated, whereas the positive energies endure forever. To look at the world today, it would appear that however much progress human endeavor has been achieved in the fields of education, science, and technology, the forces of evil are rapidly advancing. Conversely, the New Covenant teaches that in the last days, perilous times will come and that men will be more evil than ever before as the coming of Messiah approaches. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. As evil increases on the earth, the scripture teaches that because believers are new creatures in Messiah, they should not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Beware that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah and will mislead many. Matthew 24:4-5. False messiahs have appeared throughout the ages. However, three major contenders contributed in shaping the course of rabbinic Judaism and movements within ultra-Orthodoxy. We have already mentioned Simon Bar Kokhba, son of Star, who Rabbi Akiva proclaimed as the Messiah, and the major impact this had on the rise of rabbinic authority after the destruction of the Second Temple and dispersion of Israel to the nation, as well as severing the Messianic Jews from the Jewish community. Hasidim was birthed in the wake of a religious crisis resulting from the failure of the Messianic movement surrounding Shabbatai Zevi, 1626-1676, who caused the greatest upheaval in Jewish life than any other false messiah in the history of the diaspora. In 1648, at the age of 22, Shabbatai Zevi, the son of a prosperous Jewish merchant of Smyrna, Turkey, publicly proclaimed himself to be the Messiah and announced the imminent redemption of Israel. He was not taken seriously at first and was eventually banned by the rabbis for his messianic claims and strange behavior during ecstatic spells. Nevertheless, Zvi later settled in Jerusalem and in 1665 was proclaimed to be the true Messiah by Natan of Gaza, a well-known mystic and faith healer, arousing intense messianic fervor in Turkey, Italy, and Poland. To prove his messianic authority, Sabbatai Zvi violated biblical and rabbinical decrees. In 1666, on the eve of Passover, Sabbatai Zvi sacrificed a lamb and roasted it with its fat, which is forbidden in scriptures, Leviticus 3:16-17, 1 Samuel 2:12-17, and encouraged his followers to eat the meat with the fat, pronouncing a peculiar blessing over it, he who permits the forbidden. In Smyrna, Zvi pronounced the ineffable name Yahweh, or Yahweh, decreed the elimination of the 10th of Tevet, a rabbinic feast, and also promised to free woman from the curse of Eve. Many of Zvi's disciples sold their houses to raise the funds to journey to the Holy Land, while others were convinced they would simply be transported on clouds. Sabbatai Zvi also abolished the fast of the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, commemorating the destruction of both the first and second temples, and instituted new festivals. The 17th of Tammuz became the day of the revival of Sabbatai Zvi's spirit, and the 9th of Av celebrated his birthday. The Turkish government soon became alarmed by the growing messianic passion and gave Sabbatai Zvi two choices, either be put to death or convert to Islam. Zvi chose to convert, profoundly shocking the Jewish world. Still, many of his followers held to the belief he was the Messiah. Drawing upon Isaac Luria's Kabbalistic doctrine of the holy sparks and the messianic overture tones of his teachings, which fueled expectations of a coming Redeemer, Natan of Gaza argued that in his apostasy, Sabbatai Zvi was actually fulfilling a mission to lift up the holy sparks, which were scattered among the Gentiles and now concentrated in Islam. Only the Messiah, Natan explained, could redeem these sparks and thereby redeem these lost souls. And now Sabbatai was acting as a spy in the enemy camp. 10 years after his conversion, Sabbatai Zvi died suddenly on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, at age 50. Even so, Sabbataianism died a slow death. Many of Sabbatai's followers proclaimed 1706 as the year of his second event, and hundreds of Jews immigrated to Palestine in 1700 with Rabbi Yehuda Hasid, like a Sabbataians, to await the arrival of Messiah. While God may have positively used the Sabbataian movement to spark a wave of Aliyah in the early 1700s, the overall effects on Judaism were profoundly negative. The Baal Shem Tov, founder of Hasidism, was born in 1700 in Ok, a small town in Podolia, Poland. Podolia and Wolnia, where Sabbataianism had its strongest impact, was precisely the place where Hasidim was birthed. It was a sect of Hasidism that promoted the most contemporary false messiah, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, 1902-1994, was the head of the family dynasty that ruled the Lubavitcher Chabad Hasidim, the largest Hasidic group headquartered in New York. The term Lubavitch derives from the Belarusian village of Lubavitch, which became the center of Chabad under the direction of Schneur Zalman's son, Dov Beir, 1773-1827. Dov Beir, also known as the Magid of Mezherik, was a senior disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, and under his leadership, Hasidism attracted many Torah scholars. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson was born in Niloev, a Russian town, but settled in America in 1941 after completing his studies in mathematics and engineering at the Sorbonne in Paris. In 1950, he was called upon to assume leadership of the Lubavitchers, and under his influence, the movement penetrated mainstream Judaism in many parts of the world. Although, generally speaking, Chabad is a sophisticated branch of Hasidism that doesn't expect miracles from their ruling tzaddik, Rabbi Schneerson is said to have healed a man of cancer by placing his hand on the man's side and saying, "Zigur nichts," it's nothing. The chairman of the village council of Kfar Chabad also claimed that during the high holidays of 1973, when he left Brooklyn to return to Israel, Rabbi Schneerson gave him a bottle of brandy to take to Zafria, a village near Kfar Chabad. Upon arriving in Israel, the chairman learned that one of the boys of the Zafiriyah was lying unconscious in a hospital, seriously wounded in the Yom Kippur War. It turned out the soldier's watch stopped when he was hit by a missile, which was also the exact time the Rebbe handed the chairman the bottle of brandy. Upon hearing this, the doctors agreed to give the soldier a few drops from the bottle, and the boy immediately opened his eyes, fully conscious. Rabbi Schneerson never proclaimed himself the Messiah, but he never denied it either. Although Rabbi Schneerson died in 1994, never visited Israel once in his life, let alone being born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, he is still considered by many in the Lubavitcher movement to be the Messiah that will return and redeem Israel. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit, Matthew 12:33. Yeshua said that a tree will be known by its fruit. Rabbi Schneerson suggested that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, author of the Zohar, was a reincarnation of Hachaya HaShiloni, the spirit guide that accompanied the Baal Shem Tov on his ascent of the soul into the upper worlds. Rabbi Yochai said the Jewish people will be redeemed from the diaspora in a compassionate manner through tasting the secret teachings of the Zohar. Even a casual glance at history clearly reveals the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was a fight from start to finish. The Baal Shem Tov believed that one of his missions was to prepare the world for Messiah, and Rabbi Schneerson suggested this was his connection to the Achaya HaShiloni and the reason this soul visited him. We may ask what the fruit of this visitation and the birth of Hasidism has been. Who have the Hasidim embraced as Messiah? Can we safely say that the teachings of Hasidism are preparing the world or themselves for the coming of Yeshua? Are they based even remotely on the scriptural references to the Messiah? Is the fruit of Hasidism a deeper knowledge of the God of Israel, His Word, or His Messiah? Kabbalistic theology claims that the Chaya HaShiloni was the master and mentor of Elijah the prophet, thereby conjecturing that even the biblical prophets used spirit guides. How then will the Hasidim ever be able to recognize the true Elijah without a profound revelation of the extent to which Hasidism has strayed from the truth of the Tanakh? But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Malachi 3:2 and 3. The Bible says that when Messiah comes to redeem Israel, he will come as a refiner's fire and sit as a purifier of silver. The prophet asks the question, who can endure the day of his coming? Simply stated, the only priest, the Levites, and the remnant that have consecrated their lives to the smelter will not be consumed by the holy appearing of Yeshua. A silversmith must diligently watch the furnace constantly, for if the time for refining is exceeded even in the slightest degree, the silver will be injured. When the silversmith can finally see his own image in the silver, then the refining process is finished. The faithfulness and compassion of God will permit his priestly kingdom to enter the furnace, but only to bring forth gold until his image is seen in the remnant of Israel. The coming of the Lord will be first for purification of the remnant, then for restoration of Israel. In the name of Yeshua, call forth the priests, the Levites, and the remnant, which will ultimately be the one new man from Israel and from the nations. Pray that the spiritual Zadokites, Ezekiel 40, 45, and 46, who are called to minister first unto the Lord at the golden altar of incense, will be raised up as intercessors for the remnant of Israel and for the nations in preparation for his glorious coming. Pray for an utter disillusionment with false messiahs and a return to the prophetic scriptures as the only source of revelation concerning the identity and dual purposes for the Messiah, suffering servant, redeemer, king. Pray for a breaking of the generational practice of relying on spirit guides, particularly the familiar spirit of Achaya HaShiloni, and the perverting of the purposes and promises of God through false impersonations and visitations to past sages and rabbinic leaders. Pray that this stronghold, particularly as it relates to the identity of Messiah, will be completely defeated, and that the Word of God will be restored as the only guidepost to every issue of life.